This is normally Mr. Brady doing a series of 50 Baptists that you should know. And this is the next one. I think it might be number 5. But as you study your Bible, you see in Hebrews 11 what's become known as the Hall of Faith. And in the majority of the chapter, we have heroes that through faith triumphed. And at the end, the last verses 36 through 40, we have different heroes, it says, and others. In a different way, through faith, they triumphed, but it was through suffering and death. God brought each to himself, and in each case, faith was victorious. But sometimes you have someone that has victorious faith, and they live to tell about it. And sometimes they have victorious faith and others live to tell about what they went through. Here was just such a lady. We don't know much about her except the transcription from her trial survived. And so that's how we know about her stand for the Lord and what she went through as a result. Her name was Elizabeth. The year was 1549. And it was January 15th, so early in the year in 1549. She was a former nun, and she was arrested for the high crime of possessing a New Testament. And so they accused her falsely of being the wife of the reformer Menno Simons. And so she was taken before the council, she was tried, and the transcripts of the interrogations have been preserved. So the council had her there probably thinking, here's a woman, we're going to frighten her into our way of thinking. But she had boldness because she knew the scripture. And that gave her a boldness. And so, again, in many ways we say, wow, what a hero of the faith. The council began by saying, what did the Lord say when he gave the supper to his disciples? And she kind of turned the court case on them by asking a question back to them. She said, well, what did he give them? Flesh or bread? Of course, she was kind of poking at the hideous doctrine that had been invented of transubstantiation. That you would take the Lord's Supper bread and then somewhere on the way down it became the Lord's flesh. Kind of a indirect form of cannibalism. Well, they had to answer her question. He gave them bread. And then she said, and did not the Lord just continue sitting there? Who then could eat the Lord's flesh? So again, she's saying, if it became flesh on the way down and Jesus was sitting there, does that make any sense? And so she's poking holes in those things. The council said, what do you think of the Mass, Elizabeth? She says, I do not approve of your Mass, but whatever agrees with God's word, that I highly esteem. They said, well, what do you think of the Most Holy Sacrament? And she said, well, I have never read in my life in the Holy Scripture of a Holy Sacrament. But I have read of the supper of my Lord. And she referenced the scripture. Again, some of us, our mouths are going to be closed because, well, I'm not 110% sure of what I'm about to say. But here, she knew she had a boldness where she could open her mouth and speak up for the Lord. And this was very, very commendable. The council asked her, what do you hold concerning infant baptism? That you should have had yourself baptized again. And she said, no, gentlemen, I have not been baptized again. I was baptized once on my confession of faith. For it is written that baptism belongs to believers. And the council, they said, well, then are our children lost because they have been baptized? And she wisely answered, no, gentlemen, far be it from me that I should condemn the children. And the council said, do you not expect salvation from baptism then? And they said, she said, no, gentlemen, All the waters in the sea cannot save me, but salvation is in Christ. And he has commanded me to love the Lord my God above all things and my neighbor as myself. And then they said, well, have the priests power to forgive sins? And she said, no, my lords. How should I believe this? I saw, referencing the scriptures, that Christ is the only priest through whom sins are forgiven. And then she quoted Hebrews 7:21, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So the council, believing that this woman would be frightened and intimidated, she had a certain boldness from the scriptures that caused them to be frustrated. They had apparently met their match. So they sent her to be incarcerated. A later time she appeared before them again, and then after that time she was sent to a torture chamber. The college went to medieval times last week, and we had a little bit of time before the bus was collected us, and they had the dungeon. You go through and see different torture devices. And it was $2, and so I paid the $2 and went through to see the torture devices. And I came out of there kind of trembling. It kind of bothered me, the creative ways that human beings would find to bring agonizing torture upon other people. Well, they decided they were going to vent their frustrations on Elizabeth. They took her thumbs and forefingers and put them in an iron screw and began tightening it down, crushing her thumbs and forefingers until the blood shot out the ends of them. She was in such agony that she cried out to the Lord for his aid, and miraculously the pain ceased. They were interrogating her. They were saying, give us more names of people that we can interrogate and possibly torture. And she wouldn't give them any names. Then they placed iron screws on either side of her ankles and began doing the same thing, tightening down, crushing the bone there. But she again endured the pain without giving up any names. In total frustration, the council pronounced death upon her on March 27, 1549, and she was condemned to death by being drowned in a sack. She willingly offered her body as a living sacrifice to God. Earlier she had said, well, there's all the waters in the sea can't save me, but these waters were going to usher her into the presence of her Lord. It's been said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Other religions have grown as they shed the blood of others. And historically, true Christianity has grown as we have been willing to have our blood shed if called upon to suffer for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we remember Elizabeth and her bravery, and hopefully it inspires us to know the book and allow that to bring about a boldness in our life as we stand up for the Lord.